Hi, I'm Erwin McManus, and this is the Mosaic Podcast. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. And if you're one of our regular listeners, we love the fact that you journey with us. And we pray that every single message inspires you and helps you become the person that God created you to be. Every single week, we send a new message across the world. And everything we do here at Mosaic is made available to everyone in the world for absolutely free. The reason we can do that is that we have incredible people who give generously and sacrificially to make this possible. And I want to invite you to join us. If you're already a giver, thank you so much. If this is something you've not yet done, I want to invite you to start doing that now. Go to mosaic.org/give and give a one-time gift, or even beyond that, become a recurring giver here at Mosaic. And if you're one of those individuals who God has blessed in an amazing way financially, I want to invite you to become one of our partners here at Mosaic. What's really beautiful about Mosaic is that our biggest givers are families who do not live here in Los Angeles, but they are so committed to the message of Jesus going to the world that they support the work here from Los Angeles to the ends of the earth. And so I want to invite you again, go to mosaic.org/give, become a part of our support system, become one of our partners, and more than anything else, I want you to listen to the message, allow Jesus to speak to you in a way that will change your life. It is so good to see everyone here in South Pass, and let's just say hi to everyone in Hollywood right now. Come on, guys. Good morning, Hollywood. And I know it's crazy, but there are people all over the world who join us every single week, and they consider themselves a part of our community, a part of our family, and we're just so grateful to everyone around the world. Before you sit down, I'm going to let you know something that's really, really exciting. MSC released the studio version of their song, Different, and so you'll want to, come on. And so you want to download that and pick it up and allow God to speak into your life as you worship. And it's just a beautiful thing when you step into those moments where you just know you're just connecting to God, and all the worries and all the stress and all the pressure of life just seems to ooze away. And I don't know about you, but there are moments where life just feels so heavy and so challenging and so difficult that you just need to find a way to reorient yourself and find peace and calm and steadiness. And if you're here this morning, this is your first time to Mosaic, welcome to Mosaic. We're so glad you're here. I don't know why I'm assuming if you're a guest, you're in the balcony. and keeping a safe distance from anything that might happen over here. But we're glad you're here. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this beautiful morning. We're grateful for life. We're grateful for the unique way that you've designed us as human beings, where we connect to deep, deep, profound emotions. We can experience love and compassion, care, empathy. We experience worship and wonder and awe and celebration. So grateful, God, that you did not make us simply computers that know the right thing to do and know how to choose between right and wrong, but you created us with texture and dynamic, and the universe has been placed within us when you spoke life into us. And I pray, God, that even today there would be a deep connection between each person here and you, the God who created them. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I just thank God one more time for this day. You can have a seat. Well, this is the first time I've had a chance to stand with you stepping into the new year of 2024, and I don't know about you, but I am so excited about this year. I just think it's going to be one of the greatest years of our lives. We're going to step into things that will go so far beyond what we could have ever asked or imagined. I hope you're praying big prayers. I hope you have huge expectations. I hope you have big dreams and big goals. But what I really hope for you is that what you experience this year goes beyond all of that. That you are surprised by the generosity of God, and even in some ways by your own capacity and your own potential. You know, one of the things that becomes more and more challenging when you start growing more mature, or as other people would say, old,
is that you have to make a conscious decision to make sure that the better is always in the future. You have to make sure that the better is ahead of you. But one of the things I've discovered is that you don't have to be older in years to come to a psychological, mental, emotional, spiritual place where you convince yourself that the better is behind you. Not the best. I think sometimes we think about, well, you know, how do I get to the best? But today, I just actually want to talk to you about the better. I want to talk to you about having a framework in your life that you're going to keep getting better. That life is going to keep getting better. That you're going to incrementally, if not exponentially, keep keeping better ahead of you. And so if you find yourself daydreaming backwards, remembering your best days, your best moments, the best version of you, that part of you that maybe you lost along the way, maybe that part of you that you felt was with you before you were quarantined and separated and isolated, and then you can't seem to find your traction now 2 years later. That part of you that used to inspire you and drive you and motivate you and fuel you, but somehow was lost along the way. Because the challenge sometimes of losing a particular dream is that there's this interim period between the dream you've lost and the dream that you've not yet found. And then you find yourself lacking the fuel to live life, to get up in the morning and to become the best version of you. And I'm going to talk to you about keeping your edge. Because there's something exciting about when you're pressing towards your edge, when you're committed every single day to elevate to the highest expression of who you are, of becoming the person that God designed you to be. Yesterday we had this beautiful little experience. Juno came over, and if you don't know Juno, she's amazing. She's 2.5 years. She's already a savant. And she went to the house, went to the back room, and saw a photograph of Aaron and Mariah when they were around 8 and 11 years old. And when she saw Mariah, she pointed and she said, "Juno." She thought Mariah was her. 10 years from now, Juno could project into her future. Juno. And the reason Juno could see herself in Mariah is that she came out of Mariah. She has Mariah's genetic code. She has been created in the image and likeness of Mariah and Jake. And in that moment, she saw herself in her mother. See, one of the greatest challenges in life is that if you could just see yourself in the image of the one who created you, if you could, even when you look at God, step back and go, oh, not just, wow, God is incredible, but look at God and realize that you are a reflection of who he is, that you have been created in the image and likeness of God. And there's some beautiful parallel that when you look at the face of God, you're supposed to see yourself. And when God looks at you, he sees a beautiful reflection, a potential reflection of who he is. You were created to reflect God in a unique and beautiful way. Not the same. That's amazing to me. You can be an absolutely exquisite reflection of God and look completely different than someone else who's also an exquisite reflection of God. Because God is so profound and so complex and so multi-layered that it would take 8 billion people perfectly reflecting him to just begin to give us a picture of who he is. But a part of keeping your edge is realizing that there is so much inside of you that you will never actualize if you do not choose to live at a higher level. I love this particular verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. And I want us to allow this one verse to seep into us for this year. It says, if the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. I'm really grateful that the scriptures are not just full of profound insights to who God is, and even profound insights to who we are. Within the Bible, there is actually profound insights to how to live life, how to live life at an optimal level, how to move toward your own optimal performance, how to keep getting better. So I can tell you, even now, at 65, I am driven to keep better in my future. I am driven to keep asking myself, what do I need to do to become a better version of myself? How do I engage people better? How do I access the God-given capacity and potential inside of me better? How do I invest in others and make the world better? How do I do everything I do, everything I'm created to do, everything I'm called to do, even better than I've ever done it before? I'm determined that on my last day, I will still have better in front of me. How about you? How do you keep better in front of you? How do you make sure that you're keeping your edge? Well, you have to stay sharp. He says, if the axe is dull, its edge unsharpened. It takes more strength than you should need. It is, to me, really interesting that some of the most profound thoughts in life are so obvious. If the axe is dull, it doesn't work as well as when the axe is sharp. You're like, wow, thank you. That's so profound. I couldn't have figured that out by myself. Except we don't. I've actually worked as a lumberjack. It's one of the many careers I've had for a moment in time. It's one of the many things I discovered I'm not very good at. I can tell you, I would have been that guy that started with my axe. Was that guy. And I just began chopping away. Because I thought, well, you know, I was young at that time. I was athletic, muscular. Looked much, much more awesome than you could have ever imagined. And it just kept cutting and cutting and cutting at trees. And you get paid per weight. I don't have time to slow down. I got to keep cutting and cutting and cutting. But the old guys, those irritating old guys that are clearly not as athletic, clearly not as strong, clearly not as jacked, they were just cutting way more trees. They took a lot more breaks than I did. I didn't understand while they were taking their break, their axe was getting sharpened. They weren't sharing that either. If the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed. Here's the simple but profound truth in life. You have to stay sharp if you're going to keep your edge, if you're going to keep the better in your future. And the way you stay sharp is you have to keep improving. And there's so much around this that we could have an entire conversation just here. Because if I can look back over 6 decades of life, and one of the singular things that has allowed me to keep growing and developing and changing and expanding as a human being is that I've just refused to stop learning. And learning is fun, but knowing is funner. It is. It's just more fun when you know. And I think a lot of us would rather know than learn. Because the moment you're open to learning, you have to admit you're not there at knowing. I don't know why. There's something about the human psychology that wants to know faster than we want to learn. I mean, have you had a teenage child? They know everything. It's amazing how fast humans get to knowing. I know. I don't know how many times I've heard that line as I know. And I realized I said that line. I said that line to my mom, I know. Nothing more irritating than being told something that you already know. You never connect the dots. Why are they telling me this if I already know it? It's because I'm not doing it. Do you really know it if you're not doing it? The reason we're being told things that we think we know is that we're not actually acting on what we know, so we don't know it. One of the things that I've just made a commitment to in my own life, and I say this to our team all the time, is that the only language your brain understands is action. Everything else is lying. The only way you stay sharp is to keep improving. You know the old adage, you have to work smarter, not harder. It was the way you sharpen your axe, because I'm going to project that most of you are not lumberjacks. So you're like, well, how does this apply to me? I don't have to sharpen my axe. Well, for most of you, your axe is your brain. In fact, I'd say for all of you, for all the human species that I'm talking to, your primary axe is your brain. The choices you make. If you do not like your life, look at your choices. If you are unhappy with the world you're creating for yourself, you know, we talk about changing the world. Just change yours. Don't worry about the rest of it. If you cannot even change your world, you're not going to change the world. You can't even change a world or a moon or a square foot of ground where you stand. The only way that you actually grow is by going through the painful process of self-evaluation. And most of us, I'd kind of say all of us, don't like looking in mirrors that tell us the truth. It's brutal, isn't it? I think it's the primary reason marriages don't work. It's because you end up with a person who tells you the truth in a really painful way. Now, marriages that work really well tell the truth in a loving way. It's the reason why so many relationships end, how many friendships end. It's that we actually aren't comfortable having people in our lives that give us a clear mirror of who we are. Everyone who loses a job that I've ever talked to is their boss's fault. It's amazing how some people have an uncanny ability to always find the bad boss, no matter where they go, and the bad relationship, and the bad everything. The only way you can stay sharp is if you're willing to learn. And not just learning a skill. You have to learn skills, but what you really have to learn is you. You have to look at yourself and ask the question, what part of me needs to change? What part of me that I don't want to see needs to grow? I've been hesitant to even like talk about it, but one of the reasons I haven't been on stage is my eyes are a mess. Because I had a procedure and it went bad, and now I got a left eye that just the muscle doesn't remember how to go back in place, so I tape it up. And my whole job is standing in front of people. It's like, it's an incredible journey in humiliation. Humility. Both. And every day I have to look at myself in the mirror. Every morning I have to look at myself in the mirror and go, wow, that's bad. And I kind of wish I had a mirror that would lie to me, but if that mirror lied to me, people would still see what was really there. See, most of us want to look into a mirror, and we do look into mirrors that lie to us, because we're only telling ourselves what we see. And we have to look more deeply in the mirror and go, what part of me is no longer acceptable to bring into my better future? No one can change you. No matter how hard they try, no matter how much they love you, no one can change you. And that I think that's been the misconception in any spiritual environment, is a lot of pastors thought they could change people. They were wrong. See, I'm very clear. I'm not living a delusional life. I know that no matter what I do, I cannot change you. Only you can make the choices to change you. By the way, your parents can't change you, so stop rebelling. 18 years goes by really fast, and you're going to miss the free meals and the free housing. They can't change you anyway. They can create an environment where you make good choices. We parent, we can love. We can guide, we can teach. We can model. We can mess up. But in the end, every person makes their own choices to become who they are. And if you want to be someone different, then make new choices. Step back, stop swinging the axe. Stop doing the same stupid thing every day. Stop being the same person that is inadequate to become the person you want. See, if you want a certain kind of life, that life requires a certain kind of person. And so you cannot change your life until you change your personhood. And so if you're swinging the axe going, I want to create a better life, I want to create a better life, I want to create a better life, but I'm not going to change, you will still create the lesser life that reflects the lesser you. So if you want a different life, stop cutting the tree with a dull axe. Step back. Stop swinging. In some sense, oddly, relax. Take time to reflect. But I've lost so much time. I've lost so much time. You're going to lose all the time you have if you keep swinging without sharpening the axe. So take whatever it takes, whatever time, whatever choices to pull back and become a different version of you so you can create a different version of your life. I could stay here all day, but I need to move on. Stay sharp, keep improving. Work smarter, not harder. Stop trying to be a magician and create a life that your soul cannot possibly create. But work on your soul and watch the world that comes. Different translation of the same verse in Ecclesiastes 10:10 says, wisdom has the advantage of giving success. I love that. Just become a little wiser and you'll become a little more successful. I have a lot of people that I work with in the business world, and they're always looking for strategic advantages, and it's so hard to go, you know, step one really is stop being stupid. You know, you don't have to be a genius, just stop being stupid. Like, I need to find the magic trick. Yeah, just stop being stupid. And you'll need less magic if you have less stupidity. Wisdom has the advantage of getting success. A huge part of success is learning from what you've been through. I did hear some artists say, you cannot learn from your successes, you can only learn from your failures. I'm like, no! That's the hard way. I can learn from success, God. In case you're wondering what curriculum I need in my life, I learn from success so well, God. You want me to learn? Just give me more success. I'll learn so much. I don't want to be the idiot that only learns from failure. How about you? Or people who go, for me to learn, I have to experience it myself. That's called being a fool. I'm okay with you making the mistake and me learning from it, all right? How about you? You go, well, that's cruel. You shouldn't want them to make a mistake. I don't want you to make a mistake. There's just plenty of people doing it. But if you don't learn from others, you will go through the painful process of only learning for yourself. Stay sharp, but you also need to stay close. The only way that an axe gets sharpened is by the heat and pressure of another piece of iron. So if the axe is going to be sharpened, you have to stay close. The only way that you keep elevating is by pressing yourself against other people who are elevating. In Proverbs 27:17, it says this, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. I think that verse has so much to say about life. I put a little phrase in there for myself. You need to find your sparring partners. You need to find the people that press you to become better. Anyone who loves college football but did not go to Alabama hates Alabama. And I'm one of them. I've just always hated Alabama as a football team, just by principle, for no other reason than they should be hated. But Nick Saban has to be admired. I don't want to, but I do. I think he's won like 7 national championships, 1 at LSU, 6 at Alabama. The man is just a picture of success. And this year he had a bad year. He lost 2 games and didn't win the national championship, just almost won it. And so it was a really down year. So he retired. It's hard to bear that kind of failure. And one of the things he shared was that this was perhaps his favorite team, the one that lost 2 games. He said, because everyone measures success by wins and losses. He goes, but really, you should measure success by how far you've come in improvement. Oh, there he is. See, what he's actually telling us is that the real measure of success is if you stay sharp, if you keep improving. But one of the things he also says is, and it's a pretty harsh statement. He says, people who are aspiring for greatness want to be with people who aspire to greatness. They can't tolerate people who want to be average. And average people can't tolerate people who want to be great. And if you just filter that down to everyday life, I just want to ask you, if you think you're aspiring to being all that you're created to be, if you're trying to live at an optimal level, who have you chosen to have in your inner circle of life? Who are the people that you're doing life with? Because they're your sparring partners. They're the iron, the sharpening iron, except let's be really straight. A lot of people don't choose iron. You choose cotton. You choose marshmallows. As marshmallows, sharpen marshmallows. You're never going to have a sharp axe. And sometimes we live in a self-created delusion. I want to be great. I just happen to surround myself with other people who don't want to be great. And however you define great, just even in terms of your own spiritual life, If you surround yourself with people who are not passionate about their relationship with Jesus, you're probably not passionate about your relationship with Jesus. If you surround yourself with people who just want to pay the bills, you probably just want to pay the bills. If you surround yourself with people who don't want to be disciplined because discipline is hard work, one of Kim's favorite comedians, I think, is the one who says, I don't read books. And he goes, and I think, that's where smart comes from. He goes, I don't read books because there are a lot of words in them. And as I'm listening to that, I'm also thinking there's a lot of people that don't do discipline. Because discipline is hard. It's not fun. It's not easy. But when you're sharpening an axe, it actually takes pressure. And why would this be in the scriptures? As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. If God did not expect you to be the sharpest version of you, if you ever use your faith as an excuse for being average, I think it's actually an insult to the way God describes you, sees you, and calls you. I am absolutely convinced that God wants you to be the best version of yourself. And when I listen to so many people in the environment of faith, it's like, hey, just be. There's no pressure. Yeah, there's no pressure, but there is a pressure cooker. It's life. And if you want a no-pressure life, what you have to do is have a no-purpose life, a no-intention life, a no-future life. Because you're not designed for an easy life. I know no one wants to tell you that. Look at the world. If you think there's a God, why would the God who created you design you for an easy life and make life so hard. You are designed for this environment. You are capable of being stronger and tougher than you think. Last year, I was doing this men's retreat in Mexico at this vacation spot. I went to the gym, and I'm trying to work out, and I think I was 64, and I was like, no, I'm not doing bad, I'm 64. In fact, I was having a good moment. It's like, you're looking good. We're 64. Then this guy comes in. He's jacked. And he's washboard stomach, maybe 5% body fat. And he's in his 60s. And I'm like, you ever just kind of watching someone in the gym, but you're trying not to watch them, so you're looking through the mirror? You know? And I'm like, oh, dang, I got it. So I use a machine, and right before I leave, I lower the weight. So when he goes, we're like, oh, okay, you know? And then one day we're on this tram together, and he's in front of me. I thought, I'm just going to say hi. I just leaned over and said, hey, I've been wanting to meet you. I see you in the gym every day. It's a horrible experience for me, but I see you in the gym every day. Just want to say hi. My name's Irwin. He tells his name is Tom, and we've become friends. We now text all the time. I'm going to see him in a couple of weeks. He's going to join me in an event. And every time I see Tom, I'm reminded that I'm not out of shape because I'm old. I'm out of shape because I'm soft. See, it would be so much easier to go, I don't have a washboard because I'm 65. And like, Tom is like an echo from the universe. You don't have a washboard because you eat pastries. So I was hesitant to invite Tom to my next event because Tom is a reminder to me that more is possible for me. I think sometimes we surround ourselves with people that make us feel like we're doing everything that's possible for us. So if you're hanging around dumb people, I don't mean that in the condescending way, because I think everyone has the potential for genius. Some people simply don't want to live smart. And they're making bad choices, destructive choices. That's who you choose to be. And I'm not talking about investing and giving yourself away and helping other people. I'm talking about who you're choosing in your inner circle that shapes who you are. You want to elevate? Get around people who elevate. You want to be more disciplined? Get around people who are more disciplined. If you want to become smarter, get around people who are committed to being smarter. If you want to be healthier, get around people who are healthier. If you want to deepen in your faith, get around people who have a deep faith. If you want to love Jesus more, get around people who love Jesus more. It's not that complicated. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So pick your iron and press against it. Then finally, you need to stay open. Stay sharp, stay close, stay open. You keep expanding if you want to make sure that the better is always in your future. That you don't lose your edge. You have to stay open to growth. Keep expanding. Keep adding to your arsenal. This is one of my favorite obscure verses in the Bible. It's in 1 Chronicles 12, verses 1 and 2. These are the things you find when you actually read the Bible. There's so many amazing things to find that no one will ever take you to. They just drop in one day. It says, these were the men who came to David at Ziklag while he was banished from the presence of Saul, son of Kish. They were among the warriors who helped him in battle. Here it is. They were armed with bows and were able to shoot arrows or to sling stones, right-handed or left-handed. I love that. Why do you think the scriptures put that in there? I want you to know that there were individuals that came to help David who just kept expanding their arsenal. Maybe they were born left-handed, but they thought, I'm going to use my right hand too. And those who were born right-handed and they can use their left hand too, they just kept expanding their arsenal. And one of the things that I'm absolutely convinced about you is that you have not hit your limit. The moment you think you've maximized who you are, you've underestimated yourself. Because you're created in the image of God. And God creates this ever-expanding universe. Do you think he created the universe without an end and created you with an end? If he created the universe to be ever-expanding, don't you think he created you to be ever-expanding? We just had a whole day staff focus on something called the Kiersey, which is a personality profile, and working with the president CEO who goes to our community here, Edward. And we were talking about how there's all these different personality types, but they're not a box. I said, no, I see personality as where you start and then you expand. I said, oh, I never thought of it like that. See, because no matter how you design, no matter how you start, no matter what your natural gifts and talents or personality may be, you have the capacity to expand. Aaron just sent me this clip from a sales coach. And he was pretty intense. Clearly only eats raw meat. And he said, how many of you are introverts? The introverts like painfully raised their hands. Is introversion good for sales? They didn't even say it out loud. No. Introversion is not good for sales. You know how you get past that? Tell yourself you're not an introvert. Now you're an extrovert. You can see all these introverts going. He was just basically saying the job requires something that isn't natural for you, but you can expand. It would be much better to say, great, you're an introvert. Use that for your advantage. And now I'm going to give you a skill that's going to make you even stronger. So if you're an introvert, talk to people. Just walk in a room. I'm extrovert. And talk to everyone. You just be going, I'm lying to myself. But he's on the right track. A lot of us tell ourselves stories that give us an excuse to be less. I can't do it left-handed. When David Arkos was just a baby child, I met him. Him and his sister, they were singing at the university, incredibly talented musically, artistically. In fact, I don't know an arena where David is not talented. And he lived with us for 4 years. And we used to play ping pong all the time. And at first, I could beat him really easily. And then after a while, I realized I hit a wall. I couldn't beat him. He's left-handed. Left-handers are tricky. And the thing with right-handers is that they always play right-handers. They never play left-handers, so it's an unusual experience. But left-handers always play right-handers, so it's not an unusual experience for them. So I realized one day, if I'm going to break the ceiling, I got to learn how to play left-handed. And I started playing left-handed, and at first I lost all the time. And then I didn't. That's all I'm saying, then I didn't. And then one day, I realized I'm as good with my left hand as I am with my right hand. So then everyone who would come over to our house to play, I'd always play them, and they'd work so hard, play so hard, and playing left-handed. And if by chance they beat me, I'd say, I know something you do not know. It was my Princess Bride moment. I am not left-handed. Grab the paddle with the other hand. And you think, I could never do that. No, you could. You just never wanted to. Or you just never needed to. You have more God-given capacity than you could ever imagine. There will never be a day that better will not be in your future if you choose it. You can keep growing, you can keep adapting, you can keep expanding. And if you're right-handed, you can use your left hand. If you're left-handed, you can use your right-handed. And if you're good with people, you can become good with facts. And if you're good with facts, you can be good with relationships. Don't let anyone tell you what you're limited to do. Because you've been created by a God that has no limits, and he dwells within you. And by the way, this is the power of a relationship with Jesus. When I started thinking about this, I said, well, that's what Jesus does inside of me. He keeps me sharp. He presses me. He makes me see the Irwin I don't want to see. He makes me see the strengths that I'm embarrassed to acknowledge and the weaknesses I'm afraid and terrified to admit. But he keeps me growing and improving. He's that person who's closest to me. There's no one closer to me than Jesus. And he keeps elevating me. He is my sparring partner. He is who I sharpen my iron against. He is the measure of who I am. No one else. Only he tells me if I'm living my life the way I should be living it. And when I'm close to him, he keeps me open. He keeps me growing. He says, Irwin, there's still more. There's still more you need to learn. There's still more I need to teach you. There's still more you need to see. There's still more you need to experience. And I cannot even imagine being on the journey of life without Jesus. Because it has been the most extraordinary journey. I can tell you this. 45 years ago, when I opened my life to Jesus, I thought I was giving Jesus all the life I had. 45 years later, I realize by giving my life to Jesus, I stepped into the life I would have never had. And if you're here and you know that there's more inside of you, you know that you're created to do something that matters, and you feel something gnawing at you, that your life just isn't enough, you're just existing, you're just struggling, you're just making it through the day, I want you to know that Jesus came to give you life and to erupt within you all the wonder, all the beauty, all the talent, all the genius that's inside of you. I don't even know why a person would want to live their life without Jesus. It's like saying, I don't want a drop of the miraculous in my soul. If the God who breathed the universe into existence offers to breathe into your soul, you need to inhale and say, yes, give me everything you have. And if you're here today and you are ready to step into the greatest year of your life, if you're ready to make sure that the future is better than your past, if you want to keep your edge, then lean in close to Jesus. It'll be disruptive. It'll be uncomfortable. He's going to tell you things you don't want to hear, but he will make you the best version of you. Just bow your heads with me just for a moment. I have two invitations today as your heads are bowed and eyes closed. The first one is for everyone who already believes in Jesus. Are you willing to become the better version of you? To keep better in front of you. To allow God to do the hard work in you. To make you a better person. To create through you a better life and a better world. And if that's you, I just want you to take this moment right now and say, Jesus, I don't want to lose my edge. I want to keep my edge. I want you to be the iron that sharpens me. However painful it is, however difficult it is, whatever you got to say to me, God, say it to me. I want to grow. And you may be here and you've never entrusted your life to Jesus. You've never crossed the line of faith. And this is not just about what happens when you die. This is not just about receiving forgiveness, which he does give you. This is about becoming the version of yourself that you can only become when you have a relationship to the God who created you. And if you're here and you've never invited Jesus into your life, I want to invite you right now just to whisper this prayer. Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, I give you my life. And begin stepping into your future right now. Right now, just tell him, Jesus, I give you my life. If this is your prayer, I want to pray for you. If you just whispered that prayer, Jesus, I give you my life, whether here or in Hollywood, I want you to raise your hand right now so we can see you right now. Jesus, I give you my life. That's you. Just let me know right now. Jesus, I give you my life. Beautiful. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you're the God of new beginnings. You're the God who cuts the rope from the things that hold us back and pulls us into the gravitational force of our best future. I pray, God, that you would give us a hunger to be the best version of ourselves. That we would not allow ourselves to become dull, but we would keep our edge. And I pray, God, that a year from now, we would look back on this year as a defining marker in our life. This was the year. The better was always in our future. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's just thank God for all those who respond to him. Love you guys.
I want to thank you so much for joining us today on the Mosaic Podcast. As God has spoken into your life, one of the things that Jesus teaches us is that when we've been invested in, we need to also become investors. And I want to encourage you right now, if Mosaic is one of the platforms from which you grow spiritually, you connect more deeply to God, and your faith with Jesus becomes more real, I want to encourage you right now to go to mosaic.org and become one of our givers. Give a one-time gift, become a recurring giver, become a part of what God's doing across the world. Mosaic isn't just a church in Los Angeles. Mosaic is all of us working together.